the North Dakota's lone U.S. congressional seat. Okay, so who do you have running for this seat? Who's involved in the debate? And the answer is you have the current congressman, Kevin Cramer. You have George Sinner, who's running on the Democratic side of the ticket. And then you have Jack Seaman. Jack Seaman is not – I'm looking at his card, and I looked at this, and I'm telling you, it made me smile. It said, not a Democrat, not a Republican, not for sale. Jack is running on the Libertarian Party, and I wanted a chance to meet him and visit with him, and he said, yeah, I'll come in, and he's with me today. Jack, good to have you on News and Views.
Thanks for having me, Joel. Appreciate it.
You know, there was a buzz after the last debate. There was, that you were noticed. And to sit there as not somebody that came up through the ranks and made your pitch to the public in a form that, albeit is too short to get into the meat and potatoes and get noticed, that takes quite a bit. So what the heck happened in this debate that got everybody talking about Jack Seaman?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. I just went in with my game plan, which was to try and get my message across as effectively as I possibly could. And I really try to just relax and be myself, because if you try and be somebody that you're not, you try and be a know-it-all politician or whatever, which I'm certainly not. I knew I wasn't going to come off good that way. So I just tried to relax and be myself and get my point across. And I saw a lot of smiling faces in the room, and I saw a lot of nodding heads when I had the podium, and that gave me a little confidence, and it just kind of grew from there. And then the closing statement, you know, you might have seen that video that I sent out. By the end there, I think I was rocking and rolling pretty good.
Well, I was glad that some people grabbed some audio and video of the whole thing, because I was really disappointed in the coverage from the newspapers themselves. It was a debate that was put together by the North Dakota Newspaper Association, and yet the big dailies never even covered it, other than a little line here or there. I mean, did you pick up on that, Jack?
I did a little bit, and to the Newspaper Association's credit, Steve Andrist really tried to get that thing televised, and they had an agreement with KX Network to have it on in all of Western North Dakota, but they had a technical glitch with their remote truck, so they were unable to broadcast it. So,
well, that tells you something in and of itself, that they're using television and other visual means of making sure it hits. I wish more people have saw it, because they're owed it. They are owed it, and I hope you get an, are there more debates scheduled?
I haven't been invited to any, and I'm not aware of any, but I'm just waiting for the phone to ring, and I'll certainly be there.
Let's talk about your politics. Let's talk about libertarian and libertarianism. What is it?
Well, basically, we want maximum individual freedom and less federal government. We want people to be able to live their lives as they see fit without the government intervening into every nook and cranny of their personal lives, and that's really what we're all about. We're fiscally conservative. And we're socially accepting. And that's a pretty broad message that a lot of people can get behind.
So when you say these things, I instantly go to, okay, you don't believe that Obamacare ever should have happened.
Correct.
Okay. And you also don't believe that the North Dakota legislature should run around putting pro-life bills out.
Yeah. I mean, on a state level, we are much more in tune with state and local government than we are federal government. And especially,
but I want to talk about the issue, because you're saying socially accepting, where people get to make choices on their own, and that's the biggest choice issue out there. Do you believe
it's a huge issue?
Right. Do you believe in a woman's right to choose?
I do not. I am pro-life, except in the circumstances of sexual assault or mother's health. And that's
my personal
opinion. So you
believe that government should be able to tell a woman whether she can have an abortion or not?
On a state level, I do, not on a federal government level. Now, there's a lot of libertarians that are pro-choice. And within the Libertarian Party, you're going to find people that lean on either side of that issue. And that's just where I personally resonate with that issue. And that's the way I'm going to approach it politically.
Let's go back in time, because I think that's also a good way to test. As a libertarian, one of the biggest programs that government ever came down with was Social Security. Mm-hmm. Should have it ever happened?
Well, I think it was brought out with good intentions, as with most government programs are. But no, it shouldn't have happened. People should be able to keep their money and invest it as they see fit and take care of their own retirement. I don't believe that people should have to rely on the government for their retirement. They should be able to invest their money on their own and do with it as they see fit. And now we're seeing the results of Social Security. It's insolvent. We're going to have a huge issue going forward.
It's insolvent because the government stole from it.
Well, yeah, exactly.
The plan isn't insolvent. The government stole from it.
Well, yeah, and that leans to my position as a libertarian. You give that federal government an inch of power, and they're going to take it a mile.
How about Medicare?
Medicare and Medicaid is something that I think we should grant back to the states.
But they're two completely separate
things.
Yeah,
okay. Medicare should be a state-run program, not a federal-run program. Let's block grant that money to the states. Then we got 50 centers of innovation.
But you'd still collect it federally?
Well,
the federal government would collect it and then block grant it to the
state? Because of our current tax structure, it would be collected federally, yes.
Okay, but now you're breaking away from libertarianism, Jack.
Well, to a certain extent, but I'm not going to be king for a day, right? Okay? I have to be as pragmatic as I can about these issues. Given our current tax structure, yes, the federal government can still collect the money, but they can block grant it to the states and let the states run the care. Let the states run their own programs so we can try and reduce costs and increase benefits and help people.
Should the federal government subsidize crop insurance?
No.
So farmers go out and buy it on the open marketplace?
Absolutely. A free market would be the best possible solution for our farmers.
How about the interstate highway system?
Well, I think that was a good investment. I mean,
that's
not against...
That's a sales tax that the federal government mandated upon pay for it.
It's benefiting all Americans. I mean, we all use the interstate system. I'm not against every single federal government thing. I just think the federal government is way out of control and it's way too big. We need to shrink it down.
Okay,
that's
so
what I'm saying.
Jack Seaman wins. You go in there and you win this race. And I've heard you on other interviews. I heard you on another radio station say that you would caucus with the Republican Party if you were elected, that they are more in line with where you're at and if you had to choose between one of the two. That being said, if you win, you get the opportunity to put forth legislation. And I think that's also telling of what an individual is. So what legislation would you advance? What would be the first bill you'd put in the hopper?
The first bill I would co-sponsor would be the Fair Tax Act, which is already legislation that's been proposed. It's H.R. 25. That would repeal the IRS and get rid of the income tax altogether. All federal income taxes would be repealed and it'd be replaced with a national sales tax. That would be job one. Job 1A would be working on a balanced budget amendment and doing everything I could to get that put forward.
Okay, so I knew that was the answer. I've heard you speak to it before, and it brings up a great debate, which is number one, income in its purest form is based off income. If you don't make it, you don't pay it. And although a lot of things have been put in the tax code, as you know, Jack, to protect the top income level so that they're paying at a way lower rate than what others are in the middle income side. I get the unfairness that income tax brings, but you still have to make it to pay it. In sales tax, there's things that you have no choice but to buy.
Sure.
You know, you
necessities.
In North Dakota, you got to put clothes on your back. You're going to freeze your butt off.
Sure.
So, I mean, how do you look at sales tax being more fair than income?
Because the Fair Tax Plan offers a monthly prebate to every taxpayer up to the necessity level. And for a family of four, two adults and two children, that'd be about $600 a month that they would receive as a prebate in order to go out and purchase those necessities tax-free. That's what makes this plan not regressive against the poor. And getting back to income tax, I can think of nothing more regressive than an income tax. It taxes production. It's a disincentive to go out and produce. And when you do produce, the government reaches in and takes your money away. A consumption tax or a sales tax allows you to pay tax as you decide to go out and spend your money. I personally find that a much more fair taxation system.
You want to take some phone calls?
I'd love to.
Let's do it. 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. Jack Seaman is our guest. He's running. And Jack, give him your website so during the break they can look up and see what some of the work you have on your website.
Sure.
Is.
It's jackfornd.com. That's jackfornd.com.
All right. Now let's head in the Weather Center and find out if Terry's still talking to Doris today.
I just talked to her, but she found the ice scraper, Joel. So
text messages comes in, and one says, I'm just hearing Jack for the first time, and I really like this guy. He stands for what this country was founded on. Take that as a compliment. It was meant to be, Jack. Another says, limited government, not no government. Quit trying to make Libertarian Party seem anti-government. That was aimed at me, Jack. So you know that. Now he's doing the yeah, Joel thing. Why is Joel not letting Jack finish a thought? He keeps interrupting him. Mike Veter. Well, you know, Mike, girl, tough break. Get a talk show, and maybe you can do it then. Here's the point. I think in a lot of these debates and everything, I watch this, they turn into filibusters. And I just want to get your thoughts out there, Jack.
No problem. I appreciate it.
Let's get Greg on with Jack Seaman. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, Jack, so you're going to switch to a sales tax. How are you going to handle the collapse in machinery and hard goods that'll come with that. You know, you're going to take away a depreciation schedule from a farmer and then tax him 7% on a tractor or a digger. What do you think the sales are going to look like for the next five years?
I think sales are going to stay flat or possibly increase, because you have to remember, Greg, you're going to keep 100% of your income. You're going to pay no income tax to the federal government. No estate tax, no income tax, no death tax, nothing. Farmers especially should love this tax because there's no more estate tax. Farmers are getting killed with the estate tax right now. So, yes, the sales tax will increase, but you're going to keep 100% of your earnings. On top of that, the company that produces the goods is also not going to have taxes that they have to pay. So their tax structure is going to come down, and costs of goods and services will decrease as well. Any company that incurs a tax is just going to pass it along to the consumer in the end price.
Go ahead, Greg.
But the company's going to have to buy steel, and they're going to have a sales tax on that.
Business-to-business sales are not taxable on the fair tax.
Okay, let's get to James. James, you're on with Jack Seaman. Go ahead, James.
I'm all with you, Jack, as far as the income tax goes. I'll give you an example. You know, last year I worked my tail off, put in about 500 extra hours of overtime because, you know, family, we wanted to get ahead a little bit, put a little extra money. The government took 60% of that, 60%. I don't pick up any extra shifts anymore because there's no point. I'm working for less than what I would make up my normal hours because the government taxes us so heavily on the overtime. That's what the incentive it does for productivity.
James, I'd love to see your tax report, and I would direct you to a better tax preparer.
I don't have a better tax preparer. I got one of the best in the country, in the world. It's just the way it is. Once you hit a certain income level, if you're working this overtime, you start to lose your tax credits. Say if you got kids, you lose those.
Okay.
And then they tax you at a higher rate. Then you get the additional Social Security, additional Medicare. You get additional state tax. There's no point in picking up and working extra shifts because it just gets taken away from you anyway.
Okay, thanks, James. So your thoughts on that, Jack?
Well, yeah, I think the IRS is outdated and it's invasive. We got 75,000 pages in our tax code. I think most people are fed up with the IRS. I think people are willing to give this fair tax proposal a long look and they can make their own decision.
Let's get to Bud. Bud, you're on News and Views.
Hi, guys. Here's my question. The power of politician is giving favors out, and they do it through the tax system. What happens when they start exempting the sales collections on farm equipment, boats, you name it, whatever company? What are you going to do about that?
Well, I think what he's talking about is special interests getting involved in Washington and changing the tax code. The fair tax is about a 50-page code. It's very simple. It's very cut and dried, and built within it. It makes it very difficult to change it once it's been introduced. So hopefully that would reduce some of these special interest lobbying into the fair tax.
All right. Thank you, Bud. 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. Let's get to Mark. Mark, you're on News and Views with Jack Seaman. Go ahead.
Hey, Joel. Say, I like this guy that you got on there. I'm about 34, and the last caller about his taxes or, you know, the overtime, he gets taxed so much. I totally agree. I feel that, too. I believe there is too much government. I don't think we need no government, but I think they need to back off a little bit. And plus with this tax thing that he's talking about, I mean, if there's illegal immigrants, then they're getting taxed on the stuff that they buy, not their unregistered income, which is cool.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. Jack, I want to throw this at you because on your flyer and your brochure here, you talk about reduce spending now. What? What are you going to reduce in spending?
Well, I think if anybody wants to seriously talk about cutting spending, you have to look at the sacred cows in Washington, which is Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and defense spending. That is where we find balance in our budget. We're not going to find it through discretionary cuts. And there's lots of fat that we can cut there, too. But you can cut all day, and you're not going to balance the budget given our current situation. So we got to reduce our military spending. We have to find a way to reform Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid.
Would you be willing to close the Air Force bases in North Dakota down?
No, I'd be willing to close 90% of our foreign Defense Department installations, though. I don't think we need 500, 600, 700, however many bases it is around the world. Well, Joel, with today's technology, I think we can get anywhere pretty quick. We got drones, we got missiles, we got bombers, we got rockets, and we got a Navy. You know, we have far too many military installations spending far too much money, Do we need to be in Germany? Germany can afford to protect themselves. Japan can afford to protect themselves.
I don't dispute that. In fact, I'm on your team on that. But here's what I think the average person hears when they hear you say that. We're willing to close down and pay the price to reduce military, but not in our backyard.
Sure, I mean, and that's understandable.
Not in North Dakota. Not our money that comes into our state for long-range bombers that, hey, we've got in the middle of the country because we had some powerful senators at the time. And so I always wonder if we don't come off as hypocrites, people like you and me who believe we do need some military cuts.
I'm just saying let's look internationally before we look domestically.
Okay. I've got more here. You willing to give me some more time?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Jack Seaman for Congress. He's jack4nd.com. If you want to check him out, just go to his website and you can look there. We'll take some more phone calls. 237-5948. 1-800-880-5346. You can also text us at 35270. Text the word Joel, and you can get through that way as well. So stick around. Take my hand. Don't be
afraid. I'm going to prove every word I say. Power. MPG Technology.
Jack Seaman is our guest. He's running for Congress as a Libertarian candidate, an independent third-party candidate, and you can find his work at jack4nd.com. He's taking your questions, comments, whatever, by the phone lines. Let's do it. Let's get Jim on with Jack Seaman. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I got a hypothetical question for Jack on this fair tax. Let's say you make $1 million a year and you spend $100,000. You'd be taxed only on the 100. You have 900,000 that's untaxed, right?
That's correct.
And if you made 50,000 a year and you spent 50, you'd be taxed on the entire 50 minus that 600 a month.
Correct.
This sounds like a huge tax break for the wealthy.
Well, that could be your opinion, but this is the most well-researched, well-funded alternative tax in American history, and it shows that it's very fair and the wealthy pay more tax under this system.
So they have 900,000 that's untaxed. How do they pay more?
Because the wealthy people are the ones in our economy that are buying boats and yachts and cars and luxury items, and they're spending money. They have extra money to spend. The more money you spend, the more tax you pay. It's that simple.
This sounds like even more unfair than the flat tax.
Well, you're entitled to
900,000 that's untaxed.
Okay, we went through that, Jim. Thanks for your call. Let's get to Tom. Tom, you're on News and Views.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I was wondering, Jack, were you aware that in 2000, the Congressional Budget Office forecast that in 11 years we would have zero deficit? Were you aware of that?
I'm not aware of that specific forecast, no. But
okay, well, why do you feel the need to go after Social Security? I agree on defense. There's way too much going through defense. But why do you want to attack Social Security when our deficit really should have been paid off 3 years ago, except we had two huge tax cuts? And I don't know of anybody that when they're in debt, they tell their wife to quit working because we don't need that income. You had the two huge tax cuts, two wars, Medicare Part D. That's where how we got to be where we're at. And you're not aware that we could have been debt-free by now.
Well, I'm with you on the wars spending, and I'm with you on the Medicare Part D. I'm not here to say that that wasn't a factor in our debt. I think Republicans and Democrats are both to blame for the position that we find ourselves in.
What is your plan to reform Social Security?
Well, I think we need to sit down and take a long, hard look at how we can fund people that are older, that are near retirement or at retirement, and keep their benefits coming. And at some point, we have to offer people that are younger the ability to opt out of the program and end the program and get people that are in it taken care of, and the people that opt out, then we don't have to take care of them in the future. I'm 46 years old. If I could opt out of Social Security right now and keep that extra part of my paycheck and invest it as I see fit, the government can have the rest of my money. Maybe people don't, maybe you don't agree with me on that, Tom, but that's where I'm coming from. We need to find a way to get this program optional. If it was so great, it wouldn't be mandatory. It would be optional.
Well, but here's the thing. Social Security was never meant to be retirement. It was meant to be a safety net. And it still is not meant to be your retirement. It's meant to be a safety net. And so growing up the way I did, and it might be because I'm a little bit older, but I saw a lot of these, and I use stereotypes, so forgive me, but I saw a lot of these World War II boys coming home that had problems, and they had problems. And a lot of it involved the answer to that problem in their mind, or at least their actions, was drinking. And so in small towns is where they resonated too, because they could afford to live in some of these small towns. I saw people living in chicken coops. I saw people living in lumber yards. I saw people living in garages. I saw, you know, Social Security was really all that they that fixed that. That next generation, not them, because that horse was already out of the barn on them, but that next generation, you know, there is a whole group of elderly right now that are listening to you, that really, that check coming every month, it isn't welfare, because they paid into it.
Absolutely.
But it's all they can count on to just make sure that they can still call home, Jack.
And I want to make sure I'm clear on this. Those people deserve those benefits. They've paid in their whole lives. They should receive them. I'm saying at some point here, and there's guys that are a lot smarter than me and you that can actuate this and figure it out, but at some point there becomes a tipping point where we can let people opt out of Social Security and get them out of the program.
But that's the point. It's like saying, I don't drive the interstate, so I shouldn't have to pay gas tax. I mean, if you don't have people, everybody collectively pay in. My dad died at 58 years old. All of his kids, I was 20 years old when my dad died. I came home to work with dad when dad got sick. So college wasn't an option. You know, I stayed working where I was working. That was a choice I made. I'm not trying to make it sound like some sob story. What I'm trying to get at is we got no Social Security benefits other than what mom out of that. That was the way the world turned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if dad had lived to be 65, I know a lot of people in my home community that received Social Security benefits that didn't really pay in that much to Social Security. Again, that's the way the world turned. We're at a point now in Social Security, going back to what was said even about the debt. We're at a point in our country where we're not deficit spending now. We have debt. We have mountains of debt. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, Jack. Don't confuse debt versus deficit. But we haven't really been deficit spending for a while. We're gaining. So I'm wondering, as he said, why Social Security is as big of an issue as on your mind as others.
Well, it's part of a bigger plan. I mean, when you asked me how we were going to cut spending, I named it as one area we could cut it, along with Medicare, Medicaid, military spending. We have to look at a comprehensive plan in these specific departments. If we're just going to talk about trimming pork and fat in the discretionary side, we're never going to get to a balanced budget. We're never going to reduce the debt that we talk about.
That you're right on.
$17.5 trillion. We have to do something.
That
am
you're
I
right
saying
on in this,
I have
Jack.
The master plan and it's all written and let's go? No, I'm just saying we need to have this conversation. We need to have hard questions asked and hard answers be given, because this current path that we're on, I don't think is sustainable.
Where I completely agree with you is if you look at the big budget items in the budget, there are certain things that unless you are willing to address that, you're never going to really address some of the others.
Exactly.
But if you get the economy rolling, I mean, look at what happened in the 90s. Look at what happened in the 90s when all of a sudden we were sitting there and nobody was talking about the balanced budget amendment in the end of the 90s because we were there.
Yeah.
We were there. So let's get to Jim. Jim, you're on News and Views. Go ahead, Jim.
Yes. Good morning, Joel and Jack. I have a question about getting rid of the IRS and going to a consumption tax. What happens to the transition period to the money that people have put away after tax money for their retirement, and then things change into a consumption tax? Are they double taxed on that money when they go to spend it in their retirement?
No, they're not.
How do you keep track of who has what?
Well, and again, I don't have the plan in front of me, and you're asking me very specific questions about it. I'll do the best I can to answer it. But from what I've read on the Fair Tax website, which is fairtax.org, if you want to go there yourself, Jim, and read it, the folks that have this money put away, it's not a double tax situation. Can I explain it to you verbatim right sitting here right now? No, I can't. But I'd get you more information. I can give you a phone call or whatever, but I'd have to do a little research on that specific question.
Do you have a way for him to contact you through your website?
Absolutely.
Okay, so he can do that.
Yep,
there.
Right there,
there's
Jim.
Another something that in researching you and then looking at your brochure you handed me today, stop NSA data mining and restore privacy rights. That resonates with me. So talk to me about this.
Well, I think it resonates with most Americans. I mean, nobody wants their emails and texts and phone calls listened to and stuff like this. It's unconstitutional. I mean, our Fourth Amendment rights have been shattered, and we need to get some sort of semblance of privacy back in this country. And I think it resonates with most people.
But the Republican Party actively, the people that are ahead of the intelligence committees said we need this. The military community said we need this. The CIA says we need this. The Democrats, President Obama, came out for a long time. It wasn't until Dianne Feinstein, you know, took after him and said, you're going too far on some of this. And the only reason I think she did was because she found out they were actually data mining members of Congress. And so the Democrats are not pure when it comes to all of this. Do you think Edward Snowden is a traitor or a hero?
I think he's a hero.
Interesting.
And I disagree. I don't think we need this. I think that everybody thinks that we need this, but we're giving up so much personal freedom for the sake of security that I think we've crossed the tipping point to where the invasion of our freedoms has overpassed our security.
Jack, let me ask you this. You're a candidate for Congress that has gotten the attention of people. Some of the polls that I've seen show that you're getting some traction, that there are people out there that are saying, well, I want to hear more from this guy. I've received emails saying, get this guy on your show. Do you think that the NSA is targeting you now? Do you think that they look at you as a candidate for Congress saying, hey, this guy could win. Let's find out more about him. Check out his cell phone.
It's quite possible, but based on the information that I've read, they're targeting everyone. There's nobody that's safe from their spying. So
you believe if you send me a text this afternoon saying, hey, Joel, you grilled me like Osama bin Laden, that trigger word is going to kick in.
It's quite possible. I mean, I don't know what their policies and procedures are, but we know that they're mining everyone's texts, phone calls, emails. It's unnerving to me. I don't feel right about it.
One more social question that I'm curious. Do you believe that gays should have the right to marry?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Let's get to the phone line. Steve, you're on News and Views. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, Joel. I was, you know, listening to this. I got in a little late, so I didn't hear all of it. But, you know, when I look at Social Security, I think what needs to be done, it maybe needs to become a meme-based system where, you know, hey, you've done well in your life. Yeah, we understand you paid into it. But, you know, you've got enough where you're going to get $7,000 a month. You know,
then it is welfare, Steve.
But it really isn't because, you know, my father always taught me this. If you got a guy that's working at the top of his aptitude and he's a janitor at the school, you know, that's a guy society needs to help that guy. And this is coming from a conservative. Society needs to help that guy. Yeah, he should have health care. Yeah, maybe he should have the right to retire too. Why? Because we need that guy to perform that position.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. My problem with all of that, Jack, lies that I don't want Social Security 10 years from now, because there are those who say what Jack said. And it's like, okay, you know, but then you do turn it into an entitlement program. Then you turn it into a welfare program. And that makes me nervous as heck about Social Security.
Well, what I'm offering here is an opt-out. Okay, I'm suggesting it as a way to help reduce our Social Security burden. Younger folks, if you ask any millennial walking down the street, they're never expecting to get Social Security.
They don't think they need health care. They don't think they need auto insurance.
Sure. And I want to be clear on this because it's important. I believe that we need to take care of our elderly and we need to take care of the people that have paid into these programs their whole lives. I'm saying that there's younger people out there that may choose to opt out of Social Security, not pay the tax, and do with that money as they see fit and invest it on their own. And if we can do that and still fund the people that
should be getting...
What
happens when they're living under bridges, Jack?
Well, do you really think they're going to live under
bridges?
Oh,
absolutely. So I think the plan that you just laid out, where you don't have the security blanket of Social Security another day, I don't think it's enough to live on, but it's enough to make sure the light's on. Okay, and I think that many elderly people who are just getting barely by on Social Security do stay in the workforce. I think that those individuals that I'm describing to you, if they don't have the security blanket of Social Security, they find themselves living like that generation I told you about before.
And that's where you and I will disagree on it, Joel. I believe in the individual to empower themselves and provide for their own retirement. I don't believe in the federal government nanny state that has to take care of everybody.
Well, but Jack, not everybody is... Jack.
But I'm saying,
not everybody, the truth, and it goes back to what the previous caller said. Not everyone, and there are a lot of examples out there I can give you of people that just can't make it work. day to day, they're sitting there praying for payday to be tomorrow. And that's just the truth. That's the truth. Society, we've got a society that still believes you can, at $7.25 an hour, make it in this world. So who's looking out for them?
And maybe those people are the people that would choose to stay in the program. I'm not kicking them out. I'm just saying let's make it optional where people can choose to remain in it or not.
Okay. That one we're just going to disagree on. Fair enough. I'm having fun talking about it. Welcome back to News and Views. Let's get to that question. Let's talk about this person says that you remind them of Ron Paul, who they voted for. What's your thoughts on Ron Paul?
That's a huge compliment. He's my political hero, so thank you for that comment.
Okay, then he says, would you be for the legalization of marijuana?
I would, absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay, you're not afraid of everything that can go with that. What the opposition to that brings up, the lack of the slowing down of the workplace, the people that just walk around stoned all the time, the leading to other drugs, everything else that they claim it comes with.
I'm of the opinion that people that choose to use drugs right now are using the drugs. I don't think the illegality of it is deterring anyone from using drugs if they want to use it. So making them legal, I don't think is going to increase user rates or anything on that nature. Plus, people should be free to ingest what they see fit into their own bodies. Law enforcement is to enforce laws of people against people. It's not to protect you from yourself.
I've got 30 seconds for you to tell me why I should vote for Jack Seaman.
Well, here's why, Joel, because I'm not a politician. I've never ran for office on any level, and I don't care about a career in politics. I really don't. I'm running this race so I can show North Dakota and the nation that we can send third-party candidates like me to Washington to simply vote the way the people that they represent want them to vote. Go serve a term or two, come back home, and let the next guy do it. It's time to end the career politician policy that we have in Washington and send real people back.
And your website is?
Jack4ND.com or Jack Seaman for Congress on Facebook.
Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Joe.